join us online as we stream. You can catch any of our services on Facebook, YouTube, or at www.rdci.info. We might not be able to gather in the building, but you can still get to church. Stream on Sundays at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. And ladies, catch Women's Bible Study on Facebook, Fridays at 12 noon. Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is, I was born for this.
She said, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you came out the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nation. So this purpose, understanding purpose that I was born for this, is empowering. Understanding purpose is liberating. It's emboldening. It's emboldening. It makes you bold. They tried to tell Peter and John, don't y'all preach anymore. In the name of Jesus, they took him and they beat him. And they said, now preach again in the name of Jesus. We'll do it again. And Peter said, we can't preach and teach except what we heard. Now, you figure out whether we're supposed to obey God or obey you. Boy, that's bold. That's bold. You know why? He said, that's why I followed Jesus around for 3 years. I spent most of my life fishing. But I discovered about 3 years ago that all the money I was making from fishing wasn't it. I found out that the principles I was learning from fishing was really about God taking that natural desire to catch and to conquer and to take people out of this and bring them over here. I discovered that he really wanted to make me a fisher of men. Is it possible that what you've been doing all your life, ain't it? It was just to prepare you for what is it? Most of Jesus' disciples, he didn't call. Everybody had the privilege of knowing when they were 12 what they're supposed to do. Everybody didn't have the privilege of knowing, as Jeremiah did, as a child, that you're ordained, that I called you. We do our pursuits. We go to college. We major in this and we follow this. And some of us, we don't even know how we got into what we got into. We just kind of stumble into it. And now we're making money. And I can't make no money doing anything else. I just need to hang in there. And we don't even think about purpose anymore, because all we're doing, we're being led by money. Our life just consists of getting bills paid. And I'm telling you, God wants you to live deeper than that. He wants you to live with a higher sense of purpose than just getting the bills paid. Because can I tell you, the bills is the least of the problem from God's standpoint. Because he promised us, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added to you. And I can preach that not just by knowing that it's in the scripture in Matthew 6:33, but I can preach it because I lived it. That when I got fired from my corporate job, okay, when I had worked 10 years to get the salary that I was making, I thought I had arrived. Thought I arrived. And now my daughter-in-law, she start at what I worked for 10 years to get to. In the same profession as a claims adjuster. And I got fired. And now I got fired. See, I can say I got fired now. You don't tell folks you got fired when you got fired. You tell them the company's going through some things. You say the company restructured. Yeah, they. Here's our spiritual thing. My season was up there. My season was up. Yeah, and I didn't know how I was going to make it. My wife didn't know how we were going to make it. But all we know is that God told us to do what we were supposed to do. And he told me to cancel the interviews I had. And he told me to stop trying to be an executive recruiter for my wife. Stop sending her resumes around without her knowing it, setting up interviews for her. And she didn't even know. I just said, just show up. And he told me to seek him. And everything else has manifested from me being in purpose. Which is why I'm at the most secure place I've ever been, because everything I have, God gave it to me. It is something to know, oh, I'm going deep, that you are God-made man. Ooh. It is so liberating to know that this joy you have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. It's something about knowing that God will bless the work of your hands. It's something about knowing that if I can make my way prosperous by doing the word, and I can have good success, and can nobody stop it and nobody block it, as long as I keep my ear to his mouth, he's going to lead me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's going to cause me to lie down in green pasture. If I get depressed, he's going to restore my soul. And I know it looks scary sometimes, but yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for I know you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I know I walk in the favor of God. Well, how do you know you walk in the favor of God? By this I know that thou favoreth me, because my enemies have not triumphed over me. That's how I know I walk in the favor of God, because the devil couldn't win, and the devil couldn't stop me, and the devil couldn't hinder me, and the devil's will couldn't be done. And I made it through that, and I made it through this. And when nobody said I was going to make it, and when it made no sense to nobody, God brought me through. Look at somebody say, I was born for this. I was born for this. I'm in my element. I was born for this. I know you can't do it, but I can do it, because I was born for this. I know you can't take it, but I can take it, because I was born for it. I know you can't go there, but I can go there. But I know you scared, but I ain't scared, because I was born for this. Jesus knew why he was born. He knew who he was. He knew what he was to do, and he knew what he would have to go through to fulfill God's purpose and calling on his life. It is so important that you just not understand the purpose. It's important that you understand the process. A lot of people understand purpose, but they don't know process. See, I was called, but there's process. That's the purpose, but there's process to fulfill purpose. And a lot of people, as soon as you find purpose, you want to just run and jump in the purpose. But there's a process to fulfill purpose. Jesus says this. This is process scripture. Until you've been faithful in that which another man's, God's not going to give you your own. Till you've been faithful in little things, then I'll give you greater things. See, all that's process. You know, one of the greatest things about being a, or when I mean to say greatest, one of the potentially saddest things, or one of the dilemmas about being a pastor of a large church and a bishop even over other pastors who are ambitious and want to hear God and believe God, is that sometimes we do things, and as an overseer and as a pastor, I have to say stuff like, you're not ready for that. And people don't want to hear that. How many of y'all know just because you can make a baby don't mean you're ready to be a mother or a father? See, some of my teenagers don't know that. Because you can be biologically ready and not mentally ready. You can be biologically ready and not psychologically ready and not economically ready. And so sometimes you have to say, no, you're not ready for that. I heard Charles Stanley say something years ago. Okay, we're on national television now. We're on one, and we'll probably only be on one. And if we do, and we got to come off that. We'll come off that because what I'm committed to, what the Lord told me I have to do, is local television. But I heard Charles Stanley. I was reading an article many years ago about television ministry, and he was talking about preachers and pastors spending all their money trying to become some national figures. And he said, if nobody want to hear you locally, what makes you think people want to hear you nationally? If nobody comes to your church locally, why are you trying to get on a national platform? Because people don't understand process. Now, Jesus talks about process. He said, first you're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem. That's where you feel filled the Holy Ghost. In Samaria, that's the county. Okay. In Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea, the region. And then to the uttermost parts. Jesus said, okay, you got to show your faithfulness here locally. And then let me now increase the diameter. But see, some people, they want to go right to the end of the purpose without understanding process. Because this is how God works. God works, it says, this is how God works. God says, see the stars in the sky? That's how much I'm going to bless you. Pick up some sand. Start counting it. I can't count that sand. It's too many. That's how many I'm going to bless you. And then he says, now let's go get started with one. That's called process. A lot of us, we all enamored. We're thrilled about the purpose. And we don't understand process. And then so you have to tell people you're not ready for that yet. And though your gift can be greater than your process. Just because you're gifted to do it, don't mean you're ready to do it. We told people stuff like this. You got to work these kinks out behind the stage, in the green room, before you ever get on the stage. We tell people things just because everybody invites you to speak, don't mean you're ready to speak. Because you don't understand that just like y'all can see me more than I can see you right now, just like God forbid something drastic was going on here, I am right now the number one target in this place just because of my proximity. When you get to a certain level, you become a target of the devil. And many times people are on a platform that they don't have the armor on yet. Whoa. To shield themselves against all the fiery darts that's going to come against you because you let everybody know I'm called now. And you're taking shots you weren't prepared to take. Can I tell you, if you don't want shots, you don't want nobody talking about you. And thank God, I think it's calming down now, but y'all know just a couple of years ago, everybody was talking about their enemies. Everybody talking about haters. You know, I was following one person in our church, you know, just being nice, trying to follow members in our church, you know, just trying to make them feel like somebody following them. Make them feel like you got a friend other than Jesus. And I'll never forget, I don't remember who it was, but they wrote, to all my haters, wait, you got me following you and two other people. You got three followers. Who are your haters? Who are your haters? I'm following you because I love you. I'm sorry because I feel sorry for you. I want you to be somebody. I want you to have some self-esteem. And so a lot of times people are talking about haters. Can I tell you? If you're going to do anything great, you're going to have haters. You don't want to have haters. You want to have everybody like you, blend in. Once you step out from the crowd, once you talk different, act different, once you act like you got some confidence, once you really carry yourself like, you know, I really don't need you, because in God I trust, all the rest of y'all can trust somebody else. When you walk with a certain amount of confidence, when you know that you're a God-made man, see, some people call me arrogant. I am the exact opposite of arrogant, because I ain't good enough. I ain't smart enough. Come on. I heard somebody say one time, I was talking to a preacher. He said, I'm real smart. He said, I'm smart. I said, Lord Jesus. Because just when you think you're smart, God will let you go through something. You realize how dumb you are. And you realize you need him. I ain't that smart. Everything you see here, it's been, you know, I'm in an executive leadership program right now through Cornell University. Now I just got names for stuff. I got names for stuff I've been doing all along by the Spirit of God. I got proof through studies that this is true. I was already being led by the Spirit of God. I just didn't know it was called that. Come on, I didn't have a name for that, but I know God told me to do what I was doing. See, I'm a God-made man. When you know you're a God-made man and a God-made woman, you don't go around kissing people's apples. Somebody just got offended. Look at him. He's telling me, he said apples. What did you think he said? Yeah. You don't go around trying to be somebody you're not. You don't go around doing all this code switching, dude. You are who you are. That's why I love my daughter here, Minister Joyce. Minister Joyce is Joyce. She country. She country with a K. From Johnsonville, South Carolina. When she come up here and pray, she ain't putting up no airs. This morning, our Heavenly Father, oh gracious one. She go here, Daddy, we need you, Daddy. Come on now. I used to hear Pastor Dollar say, these preachers go around talking like this, or with all this, what all the ecclesiastical religiosity, whatever they talk. Oh, God bless you, brother. God bless you, beloved. Beloved, we come before you today. He said, oh, stop it. Do you talk like that all the time? When you get with your wife and the baby, talk about, beloved, would thou with like it to conjugate tonight? Stop it. Come on. God wants you to know who you are, know your purpose, that you're not fake. God wants to use authentic people. The good, the bad, and the ugly. What you are, where you came from. He said, come on, tell your story. I'll work it in. I'll get glory. When they realize where you're from and see where you are, they'll know there is a God. There is a God. So Jesus knew why he was born. John the Baptist knew why he was born. Look at John the first chapter. John the first chapter talks about John the Baptist. It says, first of all, it starts off, it says, there was a man who sent from God. It's interesting. In the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the word was with God, word was with God. That was talking about Jesus. But then it immediately starts talking about John the Baptist. John 1:6, he said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the same came for a witness, a representative, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, the one he was bearing the light for, might be saved. He, John, was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The Bible tells us John's whole purpose. John's whole purpose was to be a heralder, was to be a precursor, was to be the opening act for Jesus. Now, come on. Y'all know most stars, whether it's a comedian, whether it's a singer, whether it's whatever. You don't spend your life planning on being an opening act. I'm an opening act as long as I got to be the opening act until I'm the main attraction. Then somebody else going to open for me. That was never John's purpose. John was called by God from the foundation of the world to be an opening act. A 6-month opening act. And for this purpose he was born. He was born for a 6-month ministry that he fully loved and fully embraced. Now I know we all have our plans. We all have our purposes. We have our ambitions. We have our dreams. But have you ever accepted the fact of what God has for you makes it different from perhaps what you want. The truth of the matter is, everybody ain't called to be a senior pastor, even though they're a good preacher. You know, something, it would be all right if you didn't have other folks looking to you. Something we could tolerate if you wasn't in a position to be governing other people and instructing other people. Look at James 3rd chapter, verse 1. Put that up for me. James 3 and verse 1. James 3 and verse 1, it says, my brethren, and after this, I want you to put it up in the New Living Translation and maybe the Amplified. See, my brethren, be not many masters. That's not talking about a slave owner. It's talking about being a teacher, someone who's over other people, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. He said, when you teach other people, when you speak to other people, when you're on this platform, let me go deeper. When you're in a supervisory position, when you're in a management position, when you're the captain, when you're the owner, that we're going to receive greater condemnation. Now, you need to understand that this condemnation is not talking about God. Because God doesn't condemn us. There's no condemnation of them in Christ Jesus. Every time we see condemnation, God says, don't condemn yourself and the thing you do. It's not that God's going to condemn you. It's people. In other words, he said, people got a right to hold you to a higher standard. I talk about this in my book, In Whom There's No Guile. Okay? Put that up from the other translation for me, New Living Translation. My brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. Y'all know everybody won't be teaching in church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. You got to know what you're born for. Put up Amplified. May sound real loud because it's amplified. Not many of you should become teachers, self-constituted censors and reprovers of others, my brethren. For you know that we teachers will be judged by a higher standard and with greater severity than other people. Thus, we assume the greater accountability and the more condemnation. That's why I can't stand here preachers say when you do something stupid, well, you know, I'm just like you. I'm flesh and blood, just like you, you know. Yeah, I'm flesh and blood, but I accepted the fact I got a high responsibility and a high accountability, and if you ain't ready for the heat, get out the kitchen. So is it possible, based upon who you are, what you can handle, you're where God wants you to be? Is it possible, that you're called to be the second legs on the team? And you might not ever be the starter. The devil is alive. I know I'm supposed to come to this church. No. There. Is it possible God wants you to be a good supporter? Is it possible? You might not start. But guess what? When they get the ring, now, that ain't going to happen for the Warriors this season. But anyway, when they used to get the ring, everybody on the team get the ring. Even the supporters, even those who were second string, even those who got called up from the G League for one game. Sometimes you will be less anxious. I don't know. This must take a whole other direction for this service. You'll be less anxious, less jealous. You won't compare yourself to other people if you recognize I was born for this. Not that. This. I planned on working it in, but I didn't work it in. But since he's sitting here, you all know when I see him, see my kids, I always think about him using them for examples. But this is a good one. It's all right. It's all right. Daniel is the tallest one in my family. He's 6'5". He's 6'5", and he plays basketball. He didn't start playing basketball, okay, and then all of a sudden got 6'5". He was 6'5", so he can enhance and progress. and dominate in basketball. Now, he had a basketball long before he was 6'5". Okay? Nobody else is 6'5". I ain't 6'5". Pastor Marcy ain't 6'5". Chandler ain't 6'5". Okay? Who's the other ones? Tyler. Don't tell him that he ain't watching the street. Tyler's not 6'5". Kendra's 6. Kendra's 6'2", though, right? 6'2"? 5'11". 5'11". There you go. 5'11". They're all taller than me. But my point is that 6'5 is part of his purpose. You see? 6'5 is, so God had purpose for him and then help him grow into the purpose. Are y'all listening to me? Now, somebody else, that ain't your purpose. You don't need to be 6'5". You can cover it all day. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that. He said, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? He said, you can worry all day long. If that's not what God has for you, that's not what God has for you. You're going to have to learn to be content with, this is where God has me, and I was born for this.
There's something empowering about knowing why you were born. God didn't just create you. He created you with purpose. In this series, Bishop Herbert Bailey encourages us to know that we were born for this. Order this series today by calling 877-798-5433 or order online at www.rightdirection.info. You may also purchase the MP3 download. Just ask for I Was Born For This. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.